Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
We're at the Authors Studio at Book Expo America 2011 in New York City, and we're sitting with Bill Willingham. He has written a book called Down the Misterly River. It's a middle-grade fantasy. It's about a top-notch Boy Scout who finds himself in the middle of a forest, but it's not just any forest, is it, Bill?
No, it's the old stand-in of the mysterious forest. He doesn't know how he got there. Being a Boy Scout, not knowing how he got where he got into a forest is a brand new experience for him. That's just not something he's used to at all. So it starts out right away as a mystery. And not only is he a Boy Scout, he styles himself a boy detective. So a mystery of him showing up, not knowing where he is, just starts it right off on the, I need to figure this out, I need to solve whatever's going on with me.
Now, I'm sure many of our listeners recognize the name Bill Willingham. You are the creator of a wonderfully selling comic book called Fables. Not necessarily for children, though. This is your first shot at a children's novel, correct?
It is. As a matter of fact, when I wrote Down the Misterly River, I wanted to write something pro-Boy Scouts because, well, I was a Boy Scout and I think it's a good organization. And I wanted to write a talking animal story. And talking animal stories tend to go a little younger, I guess. But I didn't set out to write a children's or middle reader's story. I just set out to write the story I wanted to. And then the experts came in and said, this is middle readers. And I'll bow to their expertise. I suppose it is.
I find it curious that you just said, and I'd like to write a book about a talking animal. What prompted that?
I just like them. You know, ever since, I guess, the Narnia story, C.S. Lewis with Reepicheep, the world's boldest and greatest swords mouse, just the talking animal genre has appealed to me. And it was really solidified, I think, with Watership Down, the Richard Adams book that I tried not to read, but a friend said, yeah, it's talking bunnies. And, you know, I was in college at the time, and I said, yeah, I'm above all that now. And he says, look, if you don't like it, if you read it and you don't like it, not only will I buy the book back from you, but dinner's on me for the week. And since I was a starving college student, I couldn't resist. And it was just wonderful. And I think that reignited the something about human-like animals that is just a wonderful story. Never gets old for me, anyway.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning Max is a top-notch Boy Scout. Sure. You mentioned that you were a Boy Scout growing up.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it must have left an indelible impression on you as a young man. So how did it influence what you wrote?
I hope well. I was not a top-notch Boy Scout. I, as a matter of fact, went out of my way to give Max all of the merit badges that I couldn't quite get around to getting. So it's just...
Couldn't tie the knots, huh?
I was okay at knots for a while. You know, you can hold that in your mind for about 10 minutes, you know, just to pass a test and then forget it. But I'm still good with that granny knot. But yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, it's Max's job to continue my career. That's like, I can't be in the Boy Scouts anymore, so he should go on and finish up where I didn't. But yeah, of course, it a lot of that stayed with me.
Tell me the difference in the process and in the thinking between writing Fables, the comic book, and your first children's novel.
The children's novel was written at a time when I didn't have a lot of deadlines hanging over me, and it was written without, I didn't have a publisher at the time, so it was completely free in the sense of I could write anything I want. It didn't have to be this kind of novel or that. It was just whatever I felt like writing, whatever occurred to me or appealed to me, and so it was probably the one thing I'd written without any pressure whatsoever. Fables, on the other hand, is very similar in the sense of there are also talking animals, much more adult talking animals than that, and that type of thing. But that has to be done every month without fail, so the pressure is always there. There's never a moment at which it's just, well, what do you feel like writing this week kind of thing. More structure less freedom than in doing Mr. Lee River.
So down the Mr. Lee River, you might say it was somewhat liberating for you, especially when you consider it's a fantastical story, correct?
It is, and I tend to like that sandbox in which to write. But it was. There were no demands. As a matter of fact, the only demands on me was I was writing at the same time some friends in the a writer's group I belonged to were writing, and we all were determined. We were all getting pretty good at starting prose things and not finishing them. So this was we're all going to, at the same time, write something to completion. And Mr. Lee River was my thing of that. And maybe that helped in the sense of, well, if I have to finish it or suffer the ridicule of my peers, maybe I should really figure out what I like writing so that I'll be inspired to bring it to the end.
Did you like it enough, and might it be successful enough that you want to make it into a series?
I'd love to make it into a series. As a matter of fact, I even have the titles jotted down of possible sequels. If it does well enough to make it into a series, creating fantasy worlds, it's such a wonderful process, and I thoroughly love it, that why go there only once? So of course, you'd like to revisit those places. I would love to discover those 20 lost Narnia books that C.S. Lewis wrote that we just hadn't known about for now, so just to go back, that type of thing. So, yeah, I would.
Again, the author is Bill Willingham. He has written a children's novel called Down the Mr. Lee River, and the publisher is Starscape. Bill, a lot of success with this.
Well, thank you very much, Les.